Our reading this morning is taken from Mark chapter 5, beginning to read at verse 21, and can be found on page 1007. A dead girl and a sick woman. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered round him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue rulers, named Jairus, came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him. "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding around him," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." While Jesus was still speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, "Don't be afraid, just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue ruler, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Tabitha, come," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl stood up and walked around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. This is the word of the Lord.
Let us pray. God our Father, in Jesus' name, we pray that you may stand in our midst. Bring healing where healing is needed. Bring revelation where we need your revelation. We want an encounter with you for the glory of your name and for the extension of your kingdom. Grant that as we consider the subject of healing, that we may indeed hear you speak to us in our own contexts. For we pray these, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. It's never easy, is it, to talk about healing? Firstly, because in your own context, forget about here. When we are in church, it's much easier, isn't it? There is a lot of faith. And it's so much easier to pray for one another. What about tomorrow morning when you find yourself at work? When that child comes in and they are really not well, and what do? Do you say, well, we better call the doctor and everything else, but actually do not even think about praying because not quite sure? We live with incurable diseases, don't we? We live with chronic illness. Some of us know people who have suffered for years with depression. People who have suffered from all sorts of illness. And it isn't that we haven't prayed, we have. But they have not been healed. And sometimes when we find ourselves in such a context, sometimes we want to adjust our theology to reflect what we have experienced. And it's also true that when we read the Bible, we may even read such a thing as Paul saying, "A thorn was given to me." And some people reading that will say, well, that thorn in the flesh was illness. And some enthusiasts in healing have actually been so insensitive to the needs of others that actually they have put healing, especially praying for healing, into disrepute. And by the way, we may want to ask this question. Since we have no guarantee that those we pray for will be healed, why bother? Why should I take a risk of praying for somebody and I'm not sure whether they're going to get healed or not? And not only that, when we look at the history of the church, healing has not always been on top of the list. Look at the book of Acts. You would expect healing to be happening like that. Does it? No, it doesn't. In chapter 4, we have healing. In chapter 9, we have healing. Chapter 14, we have healing. It doesn't come like that. And we may be tempted not to disappoint people who are already very, very desperate. Therefore, sometimes we may want to say, why bother with healing? And I have friends whom I respect, who are fellow clergy, who actually say, Francis, I will not pray for healing. Because, firstly, I believe that that puts false hope on people who are already disappointed. I'd rather not. And the Bible doesn't help us either. Think of Job. Well, if you read the book of Job, you've got to say God did it. He allowed that poor man to suffer, and he had done nothing wrong. He was a righteous man, and what happened to him? He ended up within an inch of his life. He lost everything. And when he says, I don't understand God, when he begins to complain about God, does God come and comfort him? With the words, never mind, it will be okay. No. Instead he says, and who is this that darkens my counsel? Who is this that dares to say anything about me? Do you know anything about me? He gets rebuked instead. But at the end, God heals him. What about Paul's experience? I've had this quoted to me again and again. He's reporting in 1 Timothy 4:20, and he's reporting about a close friend of his, Erastus, stayed in Corinth, and I left Trophimus seeking Miletus. Paul?
That great person that could walk down the street and hankies were put on his, you know, so that his shadow would pass on hankies. And when they were taken to people, they were healed. And here he is leaving somebody ill somewhere else. You see, it's not easy. Therefore, why bother praying for healing? Why do we do that in St. Andrew's? Why is it that in the chapel, we always say there is healing in the chapel? And by the way, healing is not just for the experts. It's for every one of us.
Now, I'm just going to go through a few things before I come to this story. And that is, I want to look at the Bible itself. Healing is based on what we believe about God. Do you believe that? Now, shall we have a look at what the Bible says about healing? Look at those words. That is God saying, I am the Lord who heals you. And that is Exodus chapter 23 and verse 22. At the very beginning of Revelation, as it were, the revelation to God's people, he describes himself as his character is, I am the Lord who heals you. And he actually makes a promise. He says this, if you obey me, if you walk in the way that honors me and honors one another, no animal in your midst will miscarry. No one is going to die young. Everyone will live to a ripe old age. That's a promise. But we don't see it, do we? There are times when we are faced with having to say goodbye to people whom we love and whom we say they are not ready to go home yet. So how do we reconcile the two? I am the Lord who heals you. And listen to these words from Psalm 103. This is a song. David is kind of, you know, just reflecting on God. And this is what he says. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. What are those benefits? He forgives all my sins. He heals all my diseases. He redeems my life from the pit and crowns me with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. That is a God we believe in. And because we believe in him, we cannot help but actually try and follow what he says. If he says, I am the one who heals you, how dare we say, no, he doesn't. Can we? We can't. Not only that, just think of Psalm 107. These are interesting verses because these are people who have actually brought it on themselves. Listen to this. Some became fools through their rebellious ways. Suffered affliction because of their iniquities, because of their sin. They loathed all food and drew near the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. So what are they to do? Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for all humankind. And in Jesus' life, we see him calling the 12 and calling the 70. What does he do when he calls them? He actually calls them apostles. Do you know what that means? The sent out ones. He calls them so that he can boot them out. He calls them so that he can send them out. He calls them so that they can be his representatives. And he calls you and I so that we can represent him in this world. And in both of those two chapters, again and again, when he calls them, he also sends out and he tells them, go, heal the sick,
drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. And if we only had chapter 9, we could rightly say only the apostles were given that responsibility. The rest of us are absolved. No, we are not. Because if you read chapter 10, you'll find that he calls 70 others. And he sends them out with the same responsibility. Go, do this. And what are we to make of John 14:12? When you look at that, without looking at the Bible, do you know what that verse is? Anybody? Oh, yes, you are here in the first service. Anybody? Anybody know what that verse is? This is what Jesus says. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. That verse gives me the heebie-jeebies. Every time I read it, because I know that I don't measure to that. Why don't I measure to that? Why don't you measure to that? What is it that stops us from measuring to that? After all, do we believe that Jesus forgives us our sins? Do we believe that he saved us? Do we believe that he is here? If he is, then surely that must either be true, or it was written much later by somebody who really thought he was going to play tricks on Christians and thought, I'll put it in and see what they make of it. And therefore we would have to consider that God, or rather the Bible, is lying to us. But can we? I can't believe that. And for that reason, therefore, I have to consider again that I may be wrong in not seeing that fulfilled, or I don't have enough faith. What am I supposed to do about that? I can either adjust myself to saying, well, that's the way it goes. That's my little faith. I'll just have to live with it. Now, I really believe that that verse calls us higher and higher into God's presence. Because every time we pray for somebody and they are not healed, we don't just say, well, we don't know why. We go back and say, Lord, why didn't it? Why didn't it? Every time I pray and my prayers are not answered, it's not good enough to say, I don't know. I think I've got to go back to God. Because he says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. 25% of the Gospels are all about healing. Oh, take those out and we've got very little, because everywhere Jesus goes, he's always healing the sick, isn't he? And he sends them to do the same. Obviously, he expected these to be our inheritance. So how come we don't do it? What about Matthew 28:19? Jesus is about to fly to heaven. And what does he say to his disciples? All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And then he goes on to tell them, go therefore. Go into all the world. Make disciples. Make followers. Make imitators. People who will listen to your story and say, I just want to be like Jesus. I just want to be like Jesus. That's what he's asking them to do. And teach them to observe everything I have taught you. Now, either we say what he said was important, and if that is important, then by all means we seek to obey him, or rather to put into practice what we've heard him say, or we spend a long time trying to explain why that doesn't mean what it says. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me.
Go, therefore. In other words, I'm transferring that authority to you. And that authority is not merely transferred to the apostles. I think it is transferred to every believer. And you may begin to say, hold on, Francis, where did that come from? Look, you know, the text says to the apostles, how come you include us? What have we got to do with it? You've got everything to do with it. Because the same Holy Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you and I. It's the same Holy Spirit. Do you believe that? Oh, I'm trying to believe that. No, I believe that. I really do. And you and I are called to walk in that inheritance. So you see, praying for the sick is not for the experts. It's not for those who are very, very keen. It's not for those who are always saying, oh, I do pray for the sick. But rather, it is for all of us. And the early church was quite good with this. Look at Peter in Lydda. Listen to this story. Peter goes to Lydda and he sees the guy who has been paralyzed for 8 years. As Peter traveled about the country, he went to visit the Lord's people who lived in Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas who was paralyzed and bedridden for 8 years. Aeneas, Peter said, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and roll up your mat. Immediately, Aeneas got up, and I guess he rolled up his mat. I hope so, because quite a lot of people were surprised. And you can imagine why Peter says exactly that. Because at one time, Jesus says those very words to another person. I don't know whether you remember, in the Gospels, a guy was brought to him through the roof. And what did he say to him? Your sins are forgiven. And everybody started saying, no, 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 I think he's wrong. And he says, no, don't tut at me. Which is easier? Your sins are forgiven, or get up, roll up your mat and go? And he told the guy, get up, roll up your mat, and walk out. He was ill. And the guy did exactly that. He rolled up his mat and went away. So I expect Peter is actually remembering these things and putting them into practice. What about Paul? In Lystra and Derbe. We're not even told the name of the guy that he prayed for. All we are told is, in Lystra, there sat a man who was lame. He had been that way from birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul as he was speaking. Paul looked directly at him. And saw that he had faith to be healed. And called out, stand up on your feet. And the guy just stood up on his feet. Wow, that was quite dramatic. And at that, the man jumped up and began to walk. So the early church was not afraid to do exactly what they had seen Jesus do or what they had experienced. And then you've got James. James chapter 5. He's trying to kind of put everything together and say, this is the practice of the church. Listen to these words. Is any among you in trouble? Let them pray. Anyone happy? Praise the Lord. Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray for them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Now, of course, we can listen to that and begin to analyze that text and actually say, well, you see, it's got nothing to do with us when it comes to healing.
It's their responsibility to call for the elders. If they don't call for the elders, tough. We may be tempted to say that. Or we may, as elders, we may want to say, well, it's got nothing to do with us. Until they call us, they don't show any faith, why should we bother? I don't believe that is exclusively to be used for healing in any context. That is one example of what happens in the early church. So are you ill and you want healing? Call for the elders. They will come and pray for you. But I want to say this, before you call for the elders, in the church service, why don't you tell the person sitting next to you? The same Holy Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you and me. If we agree here, heaven says yes. And therefore, shall we pray? That is your call, and that is my call. And that is what I hope we will be putting into practice later. So we'll have an opportunity to pray for those who want to be prayed for. So if you know there is something that you need prayer for, first, you don't have to give history of all that has happened until now. You don't have to do it, but you may want to do it. That's all right. I want to suggest that if you are not well and would like prayer, at one point I'll ask, just raise up your hand, and I'll invite those who are around you to just come and lay hands on you and just pray for healing, full stop. God knows, and He will heal you. So no history today. When you go into the chapel, sometimes there is that extended time when you may feel that, yes, I need to say more. That's all right. It's always in confidence in there. Whatever you share in there should never come out among the people of God. Those who have been trained to pray in the chapel, listen, pray, and lay things down. They don't carry them. However exciting it is. And when you get healed, it is not for them to run around and say, hey, go one healed. It's for you to go and share. James. Now, let us go to the story that was read to us. Two very, very good stories. And we see the sensitivity of Jesus as he approaches two very, very different people. You've got Jairus, whose daughter is ill. And I'm so glad it's Father's Day today. Because you see the compassion that father has for his daughter. A compassion that is reflected in God. A compassion that Jesus echoes as he talks to him. Because you see, this guy who is a synagogue ruler, and don't forget, this is a respectable person. He comes to this wandering preacher and prostrates before him and says, come and help. Come and touch my daughter. She is very, very ill. And Jesus, note what Jesus does. Jesus doesn't begin a theological reflection with him. Doesn't say, do you believe I can heal your daughter? He doesn't. This is not a matter of talking. This is a time to just get on with it. So Jesus immediately just says, I'll come with you. Don't forget, the context is he is followed by thousands of people who are wanting to hear him talk. And yet he ignores all of them and goes with this one father because their daughter is not well. And on the way, something else happens. What happens? A lady is also in trouble. And I don't think she's heard that Jesus is going somewhere. She's probably saying to herself, I'm looking for an opportunity. When I get it, I'll take it. I'm looking for an opportunity to be healed. and I'm going to be healed today. I have struggled enough. Don't forget, she has spent her last penny on just being treated by doctors. Doctors have given up on her. That is the only person. And by the way, this is a rider. We do not choose between doctors and, you know, healing by the Lord. We use both, because both are from God anyway.
In the earlier service, we had a lovely story. Somebody has a dog which wasn't well. In fact, that dog has already had a tumor that was really big and was removed. And this week, you know, Catherine was checking. She gave me permission to share. Catherine was checking her dog and noticed that there was a lump also just very close to the place where that tumor was taken. And being a good Christian and knowing that God loves everything, including what is important to us, she decided to pray for the dog. And the tumor shrank as she prayed until it was all right. Now, she wasn't telling us in order to tell anybody. I'm telling you this in order to encourage us. She actually shared it in the context of prayer. She was just saying, "Thank you, Lord, for the miracle that I have seen this week. You healing my dog." Now, my brothers and sisters, you are worth more than that, aren't you? How much more will the Father heal those who come to him by faith? But you've got this lady. She is desperate and touches Jesus. And as she touches Jesus, she is healed. And then Jesus does something that you might want to say, well, if you're going to be sensitive, surely that's the last thing you want to do, expose the poor lady. After all, if she wanted everybody to know, she could have stood you, she could have come to you and said, just like Jairus, "Help, I'm in trouble." No, she couldn't, because what she was suffering from excluded her not only from God, but also from her fellow human beings. Because the law made it very, very clear. If you had a bleeding problem as a woman, you were not even allowed to go to the temple, leave alone join other people in any context. So you see, this lady was isolated completely from everything else. That was a big risk she took. Had she stopped Jesus and said, "Look, I've been bleeding," I think everybody would have said, "Whoa, and what is she doing here?" But no, that's not what happened. Instead, she approached Jesus, touched his cloak, and hoped, or rather believed for healing. And she got the healing that she needed. But the problem was, Jesus noticed that power had gone from him. So he stops walking and he dares to say, "Who touched me?" And you know the story. The disciples are kind of, you know, thinking, "Well, what's going on? Don't you know, with so many people, you're bound to be touched." But he says, "No, there was somebody who touched me." And he waits. I wonder why he waits. Why does he wait? Why does he expose that lady? I'm sure there are a lot of answers to that. I'll leave you to think about it. And, you may want to reflect on that. I'm not going to tell you my answer. But all I want to say is, I think he is making sure that this lady doesn't remain isolated. You see, just imagine, if it had been me, I would have looked at her. And we would have known that she'd been healed. And I've said, "Bless you." And walked away. But he didn't. Instead, he waits until she says, "This is what's happened to me." And then at that, Jesus says, "My daughter," or "daughter, your faith has made you whole." In other words, you are reconciled back among the people of God. You are no longer dislocated and disconnected. You are connected back. Go in peace. Go in peace.
go in shalom. And I believe those words were so important that Jesus was not merely just going to look at her and say, that's all right, you keep going. Instead, he takes time to speak those words to her. And so he commends her for her faith. Your faith has made you whole. And in the midst of all this, what happens? Jairus' daughter is dead. So what is he going to do? I guess what Jairus is now thinking is, well, it's closing time. My daughter is dead. What's next? And by the way, in Jewish culture, the body did not lay in state. You died in the morning, sunset, you were buried. There was no time to start thinking about anything else. And by the way, anybody who lives in the tropics, if you don't have anywhere to refrigerate the body, you die, you are buried the same day. Because if you are not, it's impossible to bury somebody who has been dead for a long time, because decomposition starts immediately. And I guess that is why, you know, Jairus is already thinking, well, that's done, therefore, what's next? I better get on with getting rid of my daughter's body. And what does Jesus do? He encourages faith. Don't be afraid, only believe. And then when he gets to the house, he does something that I think is fantastic. You are back again to how sensitive he is. When he looks at everybody there, and by the way, he's already stopped the crowds, you know, coming with him, because the time has come to make sure that this child's security and, you know, her own space is well protected. Her personality is protected. She actually makes sure that nobody joins him, apart from three of his disciples. And when he gets there, what does he do? He tells everybody who is mourning, hey, get off. She's not dead. She's asleep. Now, don't forget, these are people who have lived with death. They know when death has occurred. But he takes over and drives all of them away. The parents can't, because obviously they have got their own grief. He steps in. And after he's driven them all away, he comes and just speaks to the girl. Little girl, get up. Little girl, get up. And she gets up and walks about. And Jesus immediately says, don't you go broadcasting that to everybody. I know it is good news, but don't you dare. I wonder why he stopped them from doing all that. You see, the individual is very, very important to Jesus. And that girl was not going to be known as the girl who died and came back to life again. She was only 12. That girl was going to be a child of Jairus. And that was all Jesus wanted. Therefore, protects her. And here is a lesson for all of us. When we pray for one another, let's be sensitive to one another. Let us encourage faith with one another. Are you struggling with, you know, how I have no faith at all? Don't forget those words that Jesus spoke, that a father who brought to Jesus somebody who was ill in Mark chapter 9, actually says to them. He says this to Jesus: I believe, help my unbelief. I have faith, but it's been knocked so much. Help me. If you are struggling with faith, this day, ask for faith. And for the rest of us, I pray that this day we meet
with the Lord as we pray for one another. And may I also suggest that healing is not the only thing that matters. There will still be death. You know Lazarus? Lazarus died. But he was raised up because his time was not. Let's pray for the sick to be healed. Let's also give thanks for our doctors and nurses and everybody else. But let us not abdicate our responsibility for wanting to pray for others. That's what I want to encourage. And we are going to do that now. Are you ready? Right, let's pray. Father, thank you for the gift of your word. Thank you. We seek to follow you. We want to follow you. Father, will you make this place a safe place where we may pray one for another, and may we see you at work as we bless one another. For we pray this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, here we go. I'm going to ask anyone who wants prayer for healing just to indicate with their hand. If you need prayer for healing, just raise up your hand. I hope. Thank you. One. Anybody else? 2, 3, 4. Right. Come on, guys. Look round you. Look round you. Keep your hands up, please. Keep your hand up. Look round you, because you are going to be praying. Look round you, please, please. Look round you. Don't just look at me. Look round you, because there may be somebody very, very close to you that needs prayer. God will give you faith to believe for that person. The fact that they have said, I want to be prayed for, actually means that there is faith in this place, and there is a lot of faith. In a few moments, I'm going to ask us to stand. I'm going to ask us to have the peace. And during the peace, I want you to go around those people and pray for them. And when the Lord touches you, just receive what God has given you. And maybe another time we will share our stories. But for now, would you like to stand? Now, did you look round to see who was not, who needed prayer? Did you?
Yes.
Good. Thank you. Thank you. You looked. Thank you. Yes. Oh, yeah. You noticed. That's right. The rest of you, I hope you did, because you are the ministry team. And you're going to do exactly that. I want to start with the words of the peace, because I believe that God brings peace first more than anything else. As we share that peace, let's also pray for those. I want to suggest that you lay your hands on their shoulders and just bless them and ask God's healing to come upon them, and wait until something happens. Wait until something happens. We're going to walk on water. Let's get out of the boat. We are the body of Christ. We've been called to live in peace one with one another and to pursue all the things that build our common life. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Now let us share that peace as we pray for those who need God's touch upon us. You are free to roam. You are free to pray.